Let's turn in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 1 as we begin our scripture readings in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14 of chapter 1, the whole chapter. This chapter in the book which exalts Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. These are God's words. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you and with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but You are the same, and Your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at My right hand, till I make Your enemies Your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Those are God's words. We'll begin the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews is a sermon. A fair guess as to the author would be Paul, although that is highly debated. Largely, Hebrews is about Christ and His worship. And it begins here, chapter 1, setting the foundation as the Word of God. The first two verses, verse 1, that God spoke in the past. The Old Testament, think of that, or in the Gospels before Christ's death and resurrection. He spoke through the prophets in many various ways and times. But verse 2, He speaks by His Son now, in Jesus Christ. The rest of the chapter then begins speaking of the glory of Christ, who now speaks to us through His Word. That predominantly in chapter 1, Jesus is greater, more majestic, any word that you can think of better than. He is better than the angels. That's the point of chapter 1. The highest creatures that God has ever made, the angels, Jesus is greater than them. And that if you compare to angels and Jesus Christ, Christ has the highest and first place. And that in God's providence seems to be a theme this evening here and then in 1 Chronicles. We must seek the Lord, remembering that Christ has the first place and He's greater not only than we ourselves, but even the angels. And so we ought to pray now and ask for His blessing upon us as we think of Christ. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Son. We are thankful that though You have created the majestic angels and they are great, and as we think of them, and we could hardly ever describe them, and they're holy and righteous, the many that are with You and serving You now in heaven, but they are nothing in comparison to Your Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man who is sitting on the throne. None of the angels sit on the throne. You and Your Son sit on the throne. And what a great promise we have have been given, that in union with Jesus Christ, we too will sit on the throne reigning with Him. But not even the angels will have that privilege. And yet, Father, we come not exalting ourselves. We're just so thankful for those promises. We come exalting in Christ, who is the King of Kings, who is the High Priest after the order of Melchizedek, so High Priest forever. And He is the great prophet of promise, who speaks Your word, even now to us through the Scriptures. And we are thankful for Him, our prophet, priest, and king. Father, we're thankful that You have revealed Yourself, and You've done so through Your word. Because we know if we didn't have Your word, then we would be lost. And we're thankful that You have brought it in such its full capacity and the full canon of Holy Scripture, that You have allowed us and brought us and ordained us to come about and be born and hear Your word in these times, when Your word has come about in the full. There's no more revelation, no more. It has ceased to be added to. It is no more to be added to. And so we have the full revelation that You are going to reveal to us in that special revelation. And we're thankful for that. And then we're thankful that we've come, even as we heard in Sabbath school, we're thankful that we've come centuries after the church has seen many errors and condemned many errors. And so as to give us a better understanding of Your word now, as they continued to go back to Your word and search the Scriptures to make sure they were true, and they have the fathers who have gone before us, and Your authority as You've shown through the church courts, You've brought about a better understanding and doctrine for Your church today. And of all people, then, we should be the most grateful, the most thankful, the most zealous Christians that ever lived on the face of the earth. And yet we fail in our zeal and passion and our evangelism, and we could go on and on. But Father, we rely upon Your grace, and so we ask that You would send Your Spirit and pour out Your strengthening grace to establish us and to spur us on to good works and godly zeal. Zeal for Your Son. And Father, as we acknowledge our sin, as we can come confessing our sin, we've broken all Your commandments. We have not loved You as we ought with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We have sinned against You. We've brought reproach upon Your name. We've dishonored Your name. And so, Father, we ask that You would forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we know that we have the promise. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who pleads for us. And so we come pleading that You would be faithful to Your promises. Be faithful to who You are. And cleansing us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us. That's what You say. And so, Father, be faithful to that promise. Be faithful to the promise that You'll bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, that You'll use us, and that You'll grow Your church. Father, be faithful to Your promises. And help us in our worship of You. This evening we consider that in 1 Chronicles 13, our worship. And so, Father, we ask that You would help us. Turn us from our sins and turn us unto You, the living and true God. Even now, be preparing our hearts for partaking in the Lord's Supper. Father, we have considered the gospel often? And yet, Father, we often forget it. And so we're thankful for this sacrament. We ask that you would use it to strengthen our faith and build us up as a godly church. And Father, we pray for those who we have concerns about. We pray for Russ's mom and her struggle in her body and cancer. Father, we pray that what needs to be done would be able to be done, and she'd be okay with that. Father, we ask that you give wisdom to her children as they try to encourage her in that and encourage her. Father, I don't know if she believes the gospel. I don't know if she's a believer, a follower of you. We pray that for her salvation or for her sanctification. Now, whatever she needs, we pray that you would bring it about. We pray for Dina, who's not feeling well this evening, taking her medicine, and you would strengthen her body. And bless her as she listens to sermons at home. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen all of our weak and feeble bodies, that we would be able to serve you and worship you and glorify your name, but even do so when we are weak and can't get out of bed or can't do certain things. Father, even in those times, help us to have that exceeding gladness that brings your name glory. Father, we pray for the Living Way Presbyterian Church in Bryan, Texas. Again, we're thankful for them and are thankful that this week they've had to add chairs to their meeting room. And we praise you for that, that you're bringing more people to them, and we give you all the praise for that. We praise you for the Pacific Coast Presbytery meeting that was just had this past week and all those who were examined and the reports they had, and we're thankful for their work and that you're growing the church there, which is in desperate need of the gospel, as many in the West Coast have turned from you and are shaking their fist at you. Father, we pray that the gospel would go forth from those churches and you'd build them up, and we're thankful for the new pastor of the new church that was, or the pastor who's going to be ordained in Reno, Nevada. We're thankful for the new church there that is being planted, and pray that that would be successful. You'd bring success and grow them. And Father, in all these things, we give you all the praise. We know that we are just your instruments. You're the God who builds the church. And so build your church, we pray and we ask as we continue now. Father, bless us. Help us in our singing. We know this psalm coming up and the one later is difficult. Help us to be able to concentrate on the words that we're singing for your glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.